Because we're talking about the ascension in our sermon today, we actually need to back up a little bit in our Acts reading. So the basis for our sermon is actually from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11, which reads, "So when they came together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" Here ends the reading. I'm sure one of the most asked questions this week was why. Why did 19 children and two teachers die in the shooting at Robb Elementary School in Texas? On the same day, three children were shot outside an elementary school in Washington, D.C. The day before, on Monday, three children were shot as they left their high school in Philadelphia. Last week, there were three shootings at high school graduations in Michigan, Louisiana, and right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, just down the street from Grace at Riverdale's graduation at MTSU. Many were quick to jump on the gun legislation bandwagon, but one lady nailed the real issue on the head. Susan Vanderweer of Indiana wrote on the Robb Elementary School's Facebook page, "Our hearts are breaking for the families that have been affected by this evil." Ms. Vanderweer recognizes and has simply stated something that many in the world don't seem to understand. Evil has no regard for the law or anyone else. We as Christians who live in the spirit of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, are saved entirely by grace through faith outside of any works, and are so richly blessed by our God. Yet, of course, we live in a sinful world, a world of trouble, disease, uneasiness, stress, crime, fear, war, mourning, depression, and even death. How easy it is for us Christians in the good times to allow the words of the author of Hebrews to echo in our hearts. For he has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. But in times of great human sorrow and tragedy, how is it that these same words of God can seem like a cruel betrayal? Do we find ourselves like Jesus' disciples at his ascension, staring into the sky, wondering what just happened, and perhaps even asking, "Enough is enough. Where is God in all of this?" The disciples had been through so much with their Savior. They witnessed the first of his many miracles, turning water into wine, and then his healing of lepers with just a word, calming the seas and the storms, walking on water, raising the dead. They were there, albeit hiding in the shadows, during Jesus' trial. The horror and their shock to learn that their beloved master had been crucified and was now dead. Dead. And then the great fulfillment of Jesus' promise on that glorious third day. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
They were thinking, Jesus really is who he said he is. And he did what he said he'd do. Now things are looking up. Now that we really know who Jesus is, now that he's resurrected and alive, things will finally be good for us. And so they ask him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, Jesus, will you get rid of these Romans? Will you finally shut up the mouths of the Pharisees who hound us day and night? We've surely been through enough. Now life will finally get better, right? People loved by God, are we any different than Jesus' disciples? Now that we are Christians, our lives should be better. Jesus will never leave us or forsake us, so the world can no longer inflict his cruelty on us, right? The parents of the children killed in Texas, or in Washington, D.C., or in Philadelphia, or in Michigan, or Louisiana, or right here in Murfreesboro, might answer differently. Jesus' disciples, after 40 glorious post-resurrection days, but then as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and the cloud took them out of their sight, might also answer differently. Jesus, are you leaving us again? Wasn't once enough? God, where are you in all of this? I know you died on the cross for my sins and rose again to eternal life. But earthly life, this time, right here, right now, it's hard for us. And Jesus doesn't answer them directly. He says in verse 7, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. I don't have to tell you that this life, this time and this season is difficult because each one of us has suffered in our own way at one time or another. We each have faced tragedies in our lives. Our challenge as Christians, however, is to remember what the disciples heard as Jesus was lifted up into that cloud. This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. In his final moments with the disciples, Jesus is telling them to let go of the past and stop worrying about the future. Jesus' death, resurrection, and even his ascension is the fulfillment of God's promises. From the fall of man in the garden, when our first parents plunged all of humanity into sin and death by breaking of God's law, God promised good news, the gospel of sending a Savior to fix our brokenness. Jesus is that Savior, and his saving work has now been accomplished. So Jesus is enough for this time and this season and even the next. The Father reminds us, isn't it enough for you that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among you? The same Word that spoke our world and each one of us into existence became flesh and lived with us on earth, died for us, and rose again on our behalf. And the same Word speaks these same words to us in our times and our seasons of suffering and sorrow. You will receive, and now have received, power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus reminds us, isn't it enough that the Word became flesh and is with you daily and every moment right now through the power of the Holy Spirit? Isn't it enough that the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross has forgiven your sins and secured your future, promising the day when you will never again know pain, suffering, sorrow, mourning, or death? Jesus' life, death, resurrection allows us to shift our focus from our suffering, our earthly existence with all of its suffering and troubles, COVID, cancer, shootings, war, gas prices, food shortages, hatred, and evil, to a promised heavenly one where all that trouble has been erased. And he gives us the means of grace to do so, by Jesus, for Jesus, and through Jesus. God has triumphed over all the troubles of this world and points us to a glorious future with Jesus. Jesus is enough. And knowing that we are waiting for Jesus' return here in this earthly setting, he doesn't leave us alone or abandon us. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell with us. Not only so, but Jesus comes to us through the Word, through our baptism, and in the most real and true way, through the bread and the wine, sustaining us with his body and his blood. God incarnate is intimately with us here today, already now. Jesus is enough. People loved by God, just as Jesus ascended into heaven as God incarnate, the Word made flesh, he will come again in the same manner, the Word made flesh. He will fulfill his promise to take us to the place he has prepared for us for the next season, which is eternity. We have this promise in the best of days and in the worst of days. And we have his holy presence as the fulfillment of this promise given us by the holy angels, his messengers. This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way. Jesus, our ascended Lord, is enough on days like Tuesday, May 24th, 2022, when evil walked into the elementary school and killed 19 children and two teachers. Jesus is enough to sustain us through cancer, through COVID, through war, divorce, loss of a job, and even death. Jesus is enough today, tomorrow, forever. Jesus is enough. Amen.